All right. Thank you, Pastor Brandon, for reading that passage of Scripture. I trust you follow along in the Scripture as Pastor Brandon was reading. And you have an idea of the context of Scripture that we're going to be looking into this evening. I want to say to those of you, I had some folks come to me after the service and then a couple of more to contact me and say that you want to get involved in ministering to people. And that's what it's all about. Ministering to people. It's not about a title. It's just not. It's about, you don't have to have a title to minister to people. You don't. Say, well, I don't have a title. You don't need a title. just minister to people. There's a lot of people around us that need ministry. And we just need God to break our heart about these matters. We really do. There's just hurting people all around us, brethren. All around us. And we just, God help us. God help us. And I can't tell you how it just encouraged me to see some people with some brokenness contact me or come to me and say, look, I just want to minister to this individual or that individual, and God spoke to my heart, and I just want to reach them, and you stick with that now. You stick with that. Don't let the devil deter you, because that can happen. See, God can challenge our heart about something, and then the devil will come and try to snatch that away and get you busy doing something else. It doesn't necessarily have to be bad. It could be something good, but it's not ministering to people. And so you stay the course on that, all right? God help you and God help me to stay the course on ministering to people. As a matter of fact, before I get into the message, if God's laid somebody on your heart right now, why don't you write their name down and just say, I'm going to contact this person tomorrow. Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's someone you've been thinking about and you've just been putting it off for days, weeks, months, maybe years, I don't know. But you know that God wants you to reach out to that individual. And that's not happenstance, right? That's just not coincidence. God's laid that person on your heart for a purpose. They need somebody to come to them in Jesus' name and help them in the place of their need. And so God used you and God used me to do that. Now I want to talk to you about the race. The race. Wednesdays, we've been going through the book of Hebrews, and I've taken a couple of Sunday nights. This might be the final Sunday night that we're in the book of Hebrews. I'll choose some Wednesday nights, the Lord willing. I've got a few more messages that God has given me that I've taken some notes down. But I want to give you a couple of thoughts on staying in the race. A lot of people quitting. I read a lot of statistics, and I don't know that they're so. I try to fact check them. You know, that seems to be a big thing these days. Fact checking. You know, I try to look at the source, but I tell you, if it's correct, there's a lot of people, a lot of churches shutting down, and a lot of people just quitting on God. I can tell you this, in my life, and those of us that have been saved for a while, we've seen some people, they just quit on God. That doesn't make them bad people. Now listen to me. That's not what I'm getting at here. What I'm getting at is it can happen. All right, you say, I'll never quit on God. Well, I hope you never do. But don't be like Peter now. I'd never do that. Well, yeah, you might. If God doesn't give you grace, right? So be careful. And I'll go a little step further. What some of you need to do tonight is you need to make up in your mind and in your heart, I'm going to serve Jesus by the grace of God. I'm not going to quit. There's going to be a lot that's going to come our way in the days and the months and the years to come, if Jesus doesn't come soon. Now, I didn't say if he doesn't come. He's coming. I said if he doesn't come soon, there's going to be a lot to come our way that's going to have the potential to discourage us and to get us down and to cause us to perhaps faint in the way. Notice what happens here. The apostle writing to the Hebrew believers, he said in the latter part of verse number 3, he said, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And then he said in verse number 5, he said, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint, there it is again, nor faint when they are rebuked of him. And so we were talking this past Wednesday night about running the race. And we have some qualifiers here in order to run the race. Number one, we talked about you got to lay aside every weight. And we say that doesn't necessarily mean that it's sin. A weight could be a good thing. Could be a hobby, right? Could be something good. that you're doing, but you know, it's gotten out of hand. It's become an idol because it's taking time that you need to be spending with God. Hey, can I ask you to do something? This week, spend some more time with God. I commit in my heart, I'm going to spend more time with the Lord. Spend more time with the Lord. How much time are you spending with the Lord each day? What popped in your mind when I asked that question? 2 minutes? 5 minutes? Hey, well, preacher, we don't have the kind of time you have. You got 24 hours in a day just like I do. I'm not trying to make myself out to be anything, but listen, I need to spend more time with the Lord. We need to spend more time with God. Young people, learn right now to spend time with the Lord. Say, well, when I turn 21, preacher, I'm going to start spending time with God. Well, if you're not doing it at 14, don't think you're going to be doing it at 21. Now's the time to develop those good habits. Put those Game Boys up and those Xboxes. Listen to me now. Get out the Word of God and get in God's Word and learn what God wants you to do with your life. Put that rifle away. Listen now. Put that stuff away and spend some time with the Word of God and with God Almighty and find out what God wants you to do with your life. Say, preacher, you sound like you don't like video games. Well, I don't particularly like them, but I'm not saying that they shouldn't be. Right? No different than a computer or TV, but they've got to be, they have to be left in their place. There's a place for some things, but it's not at the top. Amen. And so he said, listen, you're going to have to run the race. And if you run the race now, he said, you're going to have to lay aside, in verse number 1, every weight. Now, God always is right. God knows what he's talking about. And for some of the older ones, it may be a television. I don't know. Maybe a Facebook or a Twitter account. I don't know. I just know that the devil is constantly coming at me and coming at you and coming at us, trying to get us to do anything and everything but get in this book and find out what God's purpose and God's plan for our life is. Oh, preacher, I already know that. Listen, every day I need to know what God's purpose and God's plan for my life is. Every day. And I need to spend time in this book. So he said, lay aside. Here's the first qualification. He said, you're already in the race. If you're saved, you're in the race. You're in the race. Now, as a saved person, and I have some concerns right here, so I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'm not indicting anyone because I want to encourage you, but I have to say this, and it's not very encouraging, but I hope that you'll really listen to what I'm saying. If you claim to be saved and there is no desire in your heart to be in God's Word, you have every right to doubt that something's wrong in your life. I just want to go back and let you know, before I got saved, I never got up and spent time in the Word of God. When I was lost, I never spent time in the Word of God. So if there's not something, you know, when Shelby stood up here, and I don't want to make this about her or me or you or this one or that one, this is about what God's plan for our life is. And when we go against what God says, God deals with us. And that's what we're going to be talking about. See, when you get saved, you enter the race. We enter the race. And God said, now here's what you're going to have to do to run your race. You want to finish your race? You want to finish the course? We have to do what God says. We have to lay aside some weights. So, well, I've already laid them aside. Well, don't pick them back up, because sometimes you can lay aside these and pick up those. Say amen with me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I've done it in my life. I lay aside this and I pick up that. I lay aside that and I pick up this. There's just constantly things bombarding me, trying to keep me bogged down in the race that God has given me. He'll do it to you too. So it says, lay aside every weight. All right? Be thorough in this area. Every weight. I believe that that's speaking about a thoroughness. Be thorough. Don't be lax. Be thorough. God, what is holding me back? There's something holding me back. Search my heart, God. Know my heart, God. Show me. Do something to speak to me about something in my life that doesn't need to be there. Lay aside every weight. Then he said, and the sin, singular, which does so easily beset you. That's the second qualifying thing. We talked about it, so I'm not going to go in detail. Now, you know what it is. Some people make this a broad statement, and they say, well, you know, that's the sin of unbelief. Well, that could be. It could be. But then it also could be a sin that is just besetting me, but it's not a sin that besets you or you. And it could be a sin that's besetting you, but it's not a sin that's besetting you. See, there's just, the devil knows where the chinks in our armor are, right? And so that's where he's going to attack. He's going to attack the weakness because he's a coward. Listen to me now. He's a coward. He's been at this a long time. And the Bible says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. He's been doing this a long time. Been dealing with men and finding out, and women, and finding out the weaknesses. And that's where he'll attack. And so he said, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience. These are qualifiers. Say, you know, I want to run a good race for the Lord, preacher. God knows my heart. I want to serve Jesus. I want to represent the Lord well. And I believe that. I believe that. Many of you that are here tonight, you're here at every service. And not just at church. Being at church doesn't necessarily mean you're a good Christian. I will say, though, it goes a long way in saying that it's important to you. Being a good Christian is important to you to be at church regularly. But there's certainly more to it. So don't mistake what I'm saying. And so he's saying, run the race, right? Run it. Meet these qualifiers. Then he said this, as you're running the race, look at verse 2, looking unto Jesus, right? Keep your eyes on the Lord now. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't be looking to other lanes. Don't be looking behind you, right? Keep your eyes on the Lord. That's what he said in verse number 2. And then we talked about this. And then he said this, as you're running the race, there's going to be some pain. Yeah. There are. There's going to be some aches and pains running the race. You're going to be tired. You're going to be weary. But he reminded them. He said in verse number 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your own minds. You can do this, right? Because Jesus has done it, and he is going to be the one that's going to help you do it. Is that what he's saying? Yes. Consider him. God's our helper. God's our helper. And so he said, consider him. Then he said, you have not resisted against blood. And I spoke on this Wednesday night. I don't want to get all back into what I said. Then he gets into a section. This is where I want to pick up. He said, there's got to be some training involved if you're going to run a race. Right? There's going to have to be some discipline, training involved if you're going to run a race. If I counted correctly, the word chastening or chastisement or correction, correcteth, used 8 times in verses 5 through 12. The word chastening, it's a word that means discipline, right? Exercising. None of us like exercise. I love exercise. Well, praise God. But he's talking about God working in our lives to make us fit for the race that he has called us to run. And he said, because God does that, there's some good positives to take from it. So write them down. All right? We looked at 2, but I'm going to go further tonight. The first one we looked at is in verse number 7. He said, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. All right? That's a present tense statement. Now, don't miss this. All right? Sometimes people, they get this thing in their mind, they think, well, God's angry at me, and I'm just an old sinner. Well, you are, but now you're a sinner saved by grace. See, in your eyes, you're a sinner, but in God's eyes, you're a saint. Amen. And so, don't go back now. See, there's a past way that God deals with us, and that's our sin, and God took care of that at Calvary. Somebody say amen. If you're saved, your sin is under the blood. And now Romans chapter 8 says, there is now no condemnation to we which are in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad for that? And so the past sin, God dealt with us as sinners. And then God's going to deal with us in judgment for our service, not our sin. Now listen to me. For our service as servants at the judgment seat of Christ. He is. Every one of us is going to stand before God one day. Every one of us. And we're going to give an account of the deeds done in our body, our service. But now, presently, see, in the past, God dealt with us as sinners. God's taking care of that at Calvary. In the future, God's going to deal with us as servants. That's the judgment seat of Christ. But right now, according to the Scripture, God deals with us as sons. presently, God is dealing with us as sons, and He is conditioning us. He is preparing us. He is exercising us. He is training us for this thing called life and the purpose that He has for us in it. So let's see what He says. He said, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? He said, if God chastens you, if God deals with you to get you in line, if you do wrong, if you get out of step with God and God gets you back in line, don't faint because of that. Back up with me, if you would, at the latter part of verse number 5. He said, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You ever done something and God say, nope, don't do that. Don't say that, right? God deals with us, doesn't he? I'm glad God does that. Now that's God dealing with us mildly. It may be through the preaching of the word. It may be through your Bible reading, your devotional reading. It may be just through somebody walking up to you and saying something to you and God just smites you in your heart with something that God used to send someone with you or I to say. And so he said, don't faint now when God deals with you as one of his children. Be thankful that God loves you enough to chasten you. Amen. Then he said this. The second thing that chastening does or chastisement does is he said it profits us. In verse number 10, this is where we left off last week or last Wednesday. For they verily for a few days chastened, meaning our earthly fathers, chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Now what profit is chastisement going to bring in my life and yours? Look at what the scripture says here. We're going to become partakers of his holiness. Now you say, now wait a minute, preacher. Hold it. Holiness? Man, who wants to live a life of holiness? That's no fun. Can I tell you the only way to be really happy is to be holy? Amen. It's the only way. See, we are so bent on being happy, we forget the only way to be happy. Be holy. Say, I'm going to need some scripture for that. I knew you'd ask for it. Jesus said, happy are ye if ye know these things, but he didn't stop there, and do them. Right? So you got to do what God said do, which brings holiness to be happy. If you don't do what Jesus said do, then you're not going to be holy because you're going to do what you want to do, and all of us are bent, we're hell-bent, we're bent toward doing the wrong thing. But if we'll do what Jesus said do, if we'll keep his commandments, then we'll have fellowship with him and we'll have joy in our heart and happiness in our lives. And so he said here, he said, it's for your profit now that God deals with you and I that way. I'm glad that he does. I'm thankful that he does. And so he said, there's a profit from it. And then he said this in verse number 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward. Now here's what he wants us to focus on. He said, you know, if you'll just stay in the race and you'll let God condition you and exercise you to finish your course along that path, in that race, God will do mighty things in your life. You know, the thing that keeps us going, brethren, is to know that God's still working in us and on us and through us, right? Amen. Amen. And so let's look at this very carefully. Let's look at it together. He said, now no chastening, verse 11, for the present seemeth to be joyous. And it doesn't. It's just like, I don't know, I'm going to go ahead and ask this question. I know it's going to challenge honesty. How many of you exercise regularly? Raise your hand. Okay, that's about 2%. I hope more than that tithe. No, I'm just... Amen. You know I'm just carrying on. Listen, there's got to be a reason for that. Now, I want you to... Listen, this is transparency. How many of you believe it's important to exercise... Raise, I didn't say that, do you exercise? How many of you think it's important to exercise? Raise your hand. Look around you now. Look around you. Okay, let's put our hands down. Now, how many of you do exercise regularly? Raise your hand. Okay, point proven. So, we don't like to exercise. We don't like it. If we did, more of us would do it, right? How many of you eat regularly? Raise your hand. Okay, we like eating. Yeah, it's just the exercise part we don't like. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God knows that we need exercising, right? Now, I want you to hold your place here and turn back to chapter 5 just for a moment, because I have something that I want to try to get to you. I want to try to encourage you to stay in the race. Preacher, I hope that if Jesus doesn't come, that I stay in church. Listen to me, 14-year-old, 20-year-old, young married couples, listen to me. I hope that we stay in church and serve God with our life, raise our children in church. Listen, this is the best way. Can I tell you, I know people have bad church experiences. I understand that, but church has been very good to me. I want you to listen to me now. Listen to me. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a member of this church. I'm not going to heaven because I'm the pastor of this church. But church has been very good to Dale Freeman and to Dale Freeman's family. Most of the greatest things that's ever happened to me in my life, and I mean there have been many great things that God has done for me, has happened in a local New Testament Bible-believing church. Now, I didn't get saved in church. I didn't. Got saved in my home. But I got baptized in a local New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church. Got called to preach in a church. Got ordained in a local church. Got married in a church. Dedicated every one of my children to God in a local New Testament Bible-believing church. Some of the most severest challenges that God has placed upon my heart happened as I was sitting under the preaching in a local New Testament Bible-believing church. Some of the greatest experiences I've had in the presence of God have happened in a local New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church. God has been good to me. The church has been good to me. And I thank God for the church. Why don't you make a commitment right now? By the grace of God, I am going to be loyal and faithful to a local New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church. I'm going to stay in the race. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to fall along the wayside. By the grace of God, as God is my helper, I'm going to stay engaged. I'm going to serve God through a local New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church. Amen? It's important. It's important. Parents, you ought to teach your children. Teach them by example. Teach them by example. Be here Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings, vacation Bible school, every event. Hey, make church priority in your family. If church is not important to you, don't you expect it to be important to your children? Say amen with me now. We've got some folks who've seen here forgotten that. Church is not a priority, and then when their children start getting, listen, growing cold and sliding out and doing other things, they wonder, what in the world? Where's the passion? Where's the wherewithal in my children's life? I'll tell you where it is. They didn't see it, mom and daddy, and so they don't want anything to do with it. God help me and God help you to place a priority on serving God with our lives. And this is what he's teaching here. Back in Hebrews chapter 5, are you there with me? He said, you know, you folks are just young babies. Now, Paul, and I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, he didn't mince words. He said, you're babies. I'd like to tell you some things. He said, but you know what? He said, I can't do it. He said, in verse number 12, for the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Doesn't mean enough to you, he's saying. And I'll say it again. If you're in here and you're 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, and you're not trying to impact somebody's life, hey, I'm going to tell you something. Something's not right. Listen to the preacher tonight. Something's not right. What do you think? You're going to wake up one day and just magically have a burden and magically decide that you're going to get involved and impacting people's lives? The Holy Ghost of God lives in you if you're saved. Holy Ghost of God will move you and drive you and put you in a predicament to where you'll say, I've got to do something to help people for God's sake. If you can sit around and all your friends are dying and going to hell and you never have, listen, one moment of concern for their soul, I'm here to tell you, something's not right. I'd be checking up now. Listen, this is important. He said here in verse number 12, he said, there's something not right with you. You should be further along in your Christian experience than this. I look at some of these young men, some of these young ladies in here. Some say, well, I've been called to preach. Listen, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me. That doesn't mean a whole lot to me. What I want to see is, what kind of difference are you making for the kingdom of God? What are you doing to help somebody? Well, I'm just looking for an open door to preach. There's many open doors for you to help change somebody's life for the kingdom of God. They're everywhere. Everywhere. People are hurting and they're bleeding and they just need somebody to reach a hand out to them and say, I care about you. But when we're babies now, you know what babies do, right? Mine. Mine. Me. It's all about me. Now what babies do? He said, you become dull of hearing. Now what he said in verse number 11? You might be closer to falling out of the race than you realize. Don't forget now. In a span of less than 24 hours, a strong disciple by the name of Simon Peter went from, I would never do that. You listening? You're not going to Calvary. If I have to, I'll die for you. I don't know who he is. Blankety blank, I said, I don't know who he is. See, some folks are closer to falling out than they realize. And we just have to be careful now. The devil's slick. He said here in verse number 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such that have need of milk and not strong meat. Won't read the Bible, won't study it, won't spend time with God. They have to be pampered and coerced and coaxed. That's what babies do. Babies need constant attention. Constant attention. And so he said this. He said in verse number 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use, watch it now, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You being exercised? You being exercised? Is God exercising your senses? Is God plucking on your inner man? Is he speaking? Is he moving? Is he dealing with you? And so you go back and he takes it up again. He said, listen, now you're in the race. He said, you need to get to running. Stay in the race now. Don't quit. Don't quit. God's going to chase you. God's going to exercise you. And if you'll go get through that exercising, then God's going to equip you to be a strong runner in the race. Let's look at it. Verse 11 says, no chastening for the present time seem to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness, but not to everyone. Not to everyone. Only unto them that are exercised thereby. Now, two things can happen when God begins to deal with you about your life. And this will be our final thought. Two things. Number one, he says that you'll begin to yield fruit. Isn't that what he says? You'll begin to yield fruit in your life. And he says, if you allow God to exercise you, you will begin to yield the peaceable fruit. You won't fight God. You'll do what God said. You won't justify, right? You won't say, well, you know, I couldn't do this or I shouldn't do that. You'll just do what God says. There's no fight. You'll just do what the Lord says. The peaceable fruit. You'll yield. Now, he said it'll yield in verse number 11. God will bring this forth and it'll yield in your life. But before that can happen, if you'll look back in verse number 9, then you've got to be in subjection unto the Father. That's you yielding. See, if we'll yield to God in this exercising process, then God will yield, as He exercises us, fruit in our lives that'll help us to be encouraged as we run the race. And then He does this. In verse number 12, He says, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." Don't be discouraged. "Well, I'm going through a hard time." I'm sorry about that. I truly am. You know, everyone goes through hard times. I wish that we didn't, but we do. That's just the way of the world. Sin. Man born of woman is, well, his days are full of trouble. We're going to go through hard times. And so He said, now don't you quit. Don't you quit. You let God exercise you. Don't you quit. So, well, preacher, God's pressing on me right now. That's because God's got something for you. Don't quit. God's putting you through the test. God's conditioning you for the race that lies ahead. And so He said here, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." Look at verse 13. "And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Now that soreness and the things that's going to happen when you're exercising are going to cause you to say, you know what, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I remember when Sharon and I, not long after we were married, she said, "I'm going to this all-woman's gym, and I'm going to work out." I said, "Well, great. I've got just the workout plan for you." Now, as far as I know, she'd never been to a gym before this ever. I gave her a workout plan that would have, listen, that would, it was a monster workout plan. She couldn't walk. She told me, she said, she called me when she got to work. She called me, she said, "It hurt for me to press the accelerator on the car." I mean, that's sore. Amen. And I think sometimes, you know, we just get all in there, but the Bible says, "I got to run the race with patience." I needed to learn that, right? And you have to learn that. We have to learn this. And so He said, listen, don't get discouraged. There's going to be some soreness. There's going to be some hard times. Stay in the race. Lift up, He said, your heads and your hands, rather, in verse number 12. Lift up your hands, which hang down, the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Stay in the race. You're going to get sore, right? You're going to get sore. You're going to have reasons to quit. You're going to have reasons to drop out of the race. He said, but don't drop out of the race. Don't drop out of the race. And I'm going to give you this. This is why. He said, because if you do, in verse number 15, look in diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean? Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Well, it can't mean that you're not saved anymore. Right? We have eternal life. You can't take just one obscure scripture and build a doctrine on it. You have to take the entire context of scripture and the entire teaching of scripture on a subject. And when it comes to the grace of God, we're saved by grace. We're going to heaven. We have eternal life. So what does it mean? Lest you fail the grace of God. It means that we are what we are. The same author, I believe, as I said to be Paul, said, listen, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He said, don't you fail to be all that you could be by God's grace, by quitting in the race or falling out of the race. He said, don't do it. God has some great things in store for you, and He does. But the devil wants to ruin your life. He does. He does. And there's been a lot of folks that have dropped out of the race. Some didn't stand up before the church and say, I'm sorry. I thank God that Shelby seen this is not for me. And God, He showed her grace. He's shown me grace. He's shown you grace. He's shown us all grace. Truth be known, we could have all stood up here and did what she did tonight at some point in our lives and said, I've let God down. Right? Right, folks? Yes. There's none of us above it. Why? Because we have an enemy. And he wants us to quit. He wants us to damage our testimony. He wants us to give up on God. He wants our lives to be miserable. He wants you to quit. But don't you quit. Don't quit because the preacher said don't quit. Don't quit because God has something great in store for you. In His grace, Don't fail of the grace of God. In God's grace, He has something special for you. I just believe that. I'm not just saying that. I believe it. No telling what God's going to do with the folks sitting in this church. If we'll just stay in the race. Run the race. Let's stand to our feet.